So, Christian, I know that you and I every week struggle to come up with some way to introduce the movie or the topic that we're about to talk about. And this week, I was thinking what we should really do is we should just start off with 10 seconds of complete silence, because I just really am not sure what the heck to say about the movie that's under discussion this week.
I'm still here.
The Joaquin Phoenix...
Casey Affleck collaborative documentary?
Movie? Hoax? Mockumentary?
Irritation? Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, no, you gave away your feelings on the movie as if I didn't know. Yes. What do you call this movie? Where does it fall?
Well, you know what? Before we start exploring this further, Let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, Takeaway Producer.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
So, Rafer, did you ever listen to the Howard Stern show?
Not really, no.
I went through a brief period of being addicted to it, and there was once this... There was a period where they did this segment called Country or Continent. Howard Stern would bring on strippers and then say something.
I know of the segment, yes.
And he would say, Mexico, country or continent.
Right.
And the strippers were invariably quite baffled and so on.
Poor strippers.
I felt like one of those strippers watching this movie. Still here. There were moments where I'm like, is this for real?
Right.
Is this not for real?
Right.
I really empathized with those strippers on Country or Continent. I really just was like, what is going on here?
You felt like one of Leno's jaywalkers, in other words. I suppose for those who don't know the movie, I mean, we can give a little background. It's as everyone knows, Joaquin Phoenix had some what appeared to be a kind of meltdown. He, you know, at the peak of his career, this promising young actor, you know, Johnny Cash and Walk the Line, decides to throw it all away, retire. He's no longer going to act. He's done with movies, and he's now going to become a hip hop artist. And you know, I think he spilled the beans to. It's in the film. He spills the beans to someone at like Extra or E Weekly or something. Mm-hmm. Just sort of pops it off out of nowhere. The rumor spreads, the fact spreads like wildfire, and all of a sudden, he's showing up on David Letterman to talk about this new movie he's done with Gwyneth Paltrow, right? His last movie, Two Lovers, but also to talk about the fact that he's going to now be a hip hop artist. And he shows up looking like, you know, he shows up looking like Allen Ginsberg or something. He's got his hair is wild. He's got these Ray-Bans. He looks like
he's gained 40 pounds.
He's gained like 40 pounds. He looks awful, and he barely speaks. He's chewing gum. He can't seem to make heads or tails of a question.
He seems like he's on barbiturates, possibly.
Right. He sort of looks sullen and, you know, kind of hostile, which he has a reputation for being. And, you know, he takes his gum out and sticks on the bottom of Letterman's desk. And then he becomes a running joke. You know, Ben Stiller makes fun of him at the Oscars. And this movie was supposed to, I think, answer the question of whether or not Joaquin Phoenix was pulling some kind of publicity stunt or some kind of performance artist hoax, or whether he was really genuinely trying to be a hip-hop artist.
And I think the movie presents it as though this is a straight documentary following his career change.
Yes.
His transition from Academy Award-nominated actor to somewhat unsuccessful, actual total failure of a hip-hop artist.
Right. Actually provably terrible hip-hop artist. Yes. True.
And those little roadblocks and bumps in, you know, the path along the way. And we see a lot of celebrity interactions also. Edward James Olmos, Diddy.
Yes. A very random selection. Billy Crystal, right? It's a very super random selection of people he's got.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah. His personal assistant, one of several, it appears, one of at least two personal assistants that Joaquin Phoenix has, is a guy that I guess, you know, real rock fans might recognize, Anthony Langdon, who was in Space Hog, a kind of a short-lived British, you know, band from, what, like the early 90s, maybe. And this guy has become one of these Cato Kaelin types, just sort of lounging around in Joaquin Phoenix's house and, you know, and you have to kind of believe that those kind of people are out there, right? These guys who are willing to just be sort of a do-nothing punching bag for some irascible star, right?
I'm your sidekick.
Yeah, like he's part of the entourage, I guess. Yeah. There's that scene where I love the scene where he's Joaquin Phoenix is commanding him to clip off his shoulder hair, right? He's got some some little shoulder hair sprouting out of his body, and Anthony Langdon is dutifully clipping it away. And there are moments like that where you think, this is fascinating. You know, like, is this really how a guy like Joaquin Phoenix lives? Is he really got people around that he can just sort of bully and berate and sort of just take his childish tantrums out on? And are there really people out there in the world that will just put up with it for the chance to...
Is that really what you were asking? Or were you asking, why am I still sitting here watching this?
No.
How long have I been sitting here watching this god-awful movie and get me out of here? I can't stand it. Get me out of here.
Get me away from this acidic-looking rapper. No, I have to say... I was really fascinated because I had gone in cold. I didn't want to read a lot about any advanced stuff on it. I wanted to just go in cold and see the movie knowing only what I'd already known. I think it took the wind out of my sails when I reached the end of the movie and I sat through the credits and I saw that the phone voice of Carline, who is the girl who's sort of Diddy's assistant, mm-hmm. that phone voice, that her name is not Carline. She was played by someone else, so a former contestant on one of Diddy's reality shows. And then that when the scene at the end of the film where Joaquin Phoenix sort of goes back on this soul-searching journey back to Panama where his father lives and he you know, sits and has kind of a silent beer with his dad. It's not his dad. It's Casey Affleck's dad. It's Tim Affleck. And at that point, I just kind of thought, well, wait, what? What? Why? Now what? Now why have I been sitting here? Now why have I been sitting here in this movie this whole time?
So did you believe the movie up until the closing credits? You thought, this is all real for the most part. I mean, maybe some things were timed and edited in a certain way, but you thought it was all real.
I would say a sense of doubt began to creep in about halfway through when the hookers show up. and the hookers
snorting
show
cocaine
up and
off yeah, of right. big naked boobies didn't seem yeah.
well. That's what I kind of thought. Like, really, hookers and blow? Like, are you really telling me that like Joaquin Phoenix is going to go there and just sort of do this on camera and like, hey everyone, this is how I live, and it's totally cool that my brother-in-law Casey Affleck has just been filming this, and then we're just going to put it out in theaters. Do you know what I mean? I just kind of thought I don't really think I'm not sure I buy that. Then it started to seem a little bit more like Jackass to me, you know, mm-hmm. like it started to seem like just sort of extreme.
Let's see what stupid stuff we can
yeah,
do now
right.
and film it.
Right.
It just Here's another
like...
stupid thing we can do.
Right.
There
exactly.
are lots of scenes with men wearing no pants.
Exactly. Right. Mostly Anthony, I think. and I'm not sure why that was.
I mean, the way I saw it, I was watching it the whole time thinking, this is the most boring hoax I've ever seen. This is the
okay.
most boring hoax I've ever seen.
You just didn't buy it.
I've seen better films made by freshman 101 film studies wow. students that it's like you point the camera at the sky and you repeat the words, daddy, daughter, winter, daddy, daughter, winter. That's kind of like the level of filmmaking this oftentimes seemed like to me, where let's just follow Joaquin Phoenix's back as he walks through water for
yes.
over 10 minutes
right.
while music plays. Things like this where I'm like, this is not good filmmaking. This is...
Well, but I thought I actually have to give it points for the form. I thought it captured the form of documentary filmmaking pretty well. You know, I mean, it never broke character. I really felt the authenticity of the documentary style was enough to fool me for quite a bit before mm-hmm. before things kind of sunk in. Also Diddy showing up, you know, and going through this kind of funny back and forth where he, you know, keeps saying with Joaquin Phoenix, you know, do you have the money? Do you have the money to do this? And Joaquin Phoenix saying, yeah, well, how much do you need? And Diddy saying, well, how much you got? And I kind of thought, like, again, I just thought, really? Like, did he let the cameras in on this meeting with Joaquin Phoenix? And he's perfectly happy to have this stuff just broadcast out there. He's got to be in on the joke. He's got to be in on the joke.
I thought it was all a joke, though, until the very, very, very end. Then I started questioning myself. Like, is this really a joke?
The breakdown in Central Park?
Well, who can vomit that many times on cue?
But that was also one of the moments where I started thinking, maybe this is fake. Because first of all, you never see the heckler in that Las Vegas club, which later triggers this sort of emotional vomiting sequence afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix, you know, does his thing in a Vegas club, picks a fight with someone, goes down to the audience and seems to punch him. But you never see the guy. And then later on goes into a bathroom and throws up. But I want to say, having seen many throw-up movies, many throw-up scenes in movies, you never see the vomit actually coming out of his mouth. I know this is a nitty-gritty thing to say, but it's hidden by his blazer hanging over his face. You never see his face. And there was a moment where I kind of thought, that could be, as real as that looks, that could be pumped in vomit-ish material. that could be a vomit effect.
See, that's the point when I really started thinking maybe this is real. But country or continent?
Country or continent.
I was having some difficulty at the end there, but regardless of whether or not it's fake or real, I went with one of my friends and I turned to him afterwards and I said, fake or real? And he said, does it really matter?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because he thought it was so bad.
Yeah, I think he and I both agreed that it was just so awful that
okay.
If it's real, if it's fake, it doesn't matter. We're both irritated and that was a big waste of our 2 hours.
What irritated you, was it the fact that you just thought the film was kind of boring and amateurish, or was it...
There was that.
The idea of sort of Joaquin Phoenix, the spoiled idiot movie star, behaving badly and looking like a brat.
It was more the former.
We just wanted
it to be done more expertly. If you're going to do this game, do it better. Do it like American Movie. American Movie, where if you haven't seen it, that's also a documentary that some people have questioned whether or not it's fake or real.
Uh-huh.
You have these two guys who are trying to make a horror movie, Coven, because they can't pronounce Coven.
That's good. I like that.
And it documents two guys trying to make a low-budget horror movie, and a lot of people were like, this is totally real. And I always thought it was fake.
And you thought it was a stunt.
I thought it was totally fake, and yeah. I loved that you couldn't quite tell. And most people all along, I think, were... I don't know, questioning it or believing it. Or this one, I thought that there's still the question of is it real or is it not, but it didn't captivate me. It bored me.
I think it was a press conference, Casey Affleck referred to what he thought was the reductive debate going on in the press, which I thought it was funny. I thought two things. I thought, well, here's why I still like Casey Affleck. He may be the only person in Hollywood who's ever used the word reductive. And second of all, I also thought, like, well, but you've just reduced my wallet by $13. Like, is it real or is it fake? Come on, you know? So,
well, you do have to look at the closing credits. It does say written and directed by Casey Affleck.
I know.
There is that.
So we'll have two litmus tests. Joaquin Phoenix is coming on to Letterman, back onto Letterman on September 22nd. Mm. So we'll see what that brings. And of course, the blogosphere is abuzz with rumors that he's considering more movie roles.
Of course.
Of course.